And you can turn in your Bibles to the book of Philippians. That thing working, Danny? Yeah. Hallelujah. Did you figure out what it was? All right, very good. All right. Sorry, we got some technical stuff. We're going back on there. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen? Yeah. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. If you got a computer Bible, hold it up. If you got a paper Bible, hold it up. All right, who we got? Anybody? Paper Bible. Let's see it. 1, 2, 3, 4. That's all the paper we got in the house. 5, 5, 6. It's 2018. Soon to be 2019. No, that's not paper, Joe. Some of these youngsters don't even know what paper Bible is. Well, anyway. All right, here we go. Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 to 11 says, finally, everybody say finally. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. Turn me down a little bit there, Danny. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again and again, and it is a safeguard for you. Watch out for those dogs, those men who do evil, those mutilators of the flesh, for it is we who are the circumcision, we who worship by the Spirit of God, who glory in Christ Jesus, who put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself, this is Paul, not me, I myself have reasons for such confidence. If anyone else thinks he has reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for legalistic righteousness, faultless. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything I lost compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I might gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by truth. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his suffering, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain the resurrection from the dead. Lord, Lord, we come here this morning, young and old, some knowing you well, some wanting to know you, and some not really caring. Lord, I pray by your Spirit, Lord, that you would do a work among us this morning, that we can indeed know you better, be transformed in our lives, and we'll give you praise in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, 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 amen. Well, yesterday we had the men's breakfast, and the men's breakfast went a little bit long. Men gathered at 8 to cook, 7 to cook, 8 to eat, and stayed and did a little bit of wrenching. And let's see, we had Pastor Scott, Aaron, Mike, Jimmy, JJ, Rocky, George, Dave, and William showed up to work and bless some of the ladies around here. Jackie, JoJo, Wendy, Lori, Natty, Dana, and Teddy got their cars washed. We were able to check some oil, change some oil, look at some tires, and try and bless these ladies. And what these men did was gather around so that we could give these ladies a Christmas gift. And that is what we're talking about, the gift of life. And we are in this series called the Christmas Gift, the Christmas series, the gift of life, new life in Christ. Paul got it. And he is telling us about it, and we are going to be talking about that this morning. And I want to let you know that realistically, there's not a better gift that you can get this Christmas 2018 than the gift of life. Amen? Many of you have got that. Many of you are many of you are in recovery. Look at Sandra sitting over there on recovery. Hallelujah. I'm liking life. Lori over there going, you know, she brought her car in yesterday. She says, I need to get my oil changed because it hadn't been changed in 6 months. She says, she had back surgery 6 months ago. That oil was fresh and new. She says, well, I guess I haven't been driving much since I got my back surgery. They bring it back in 6 months. We'll change it for you, ma'am. Yes. New life in Christ. Paul says, I got mine, and I'm hoping that you got yours. And if you're going to work it, put a focus, get that new life. To get that new life, you got to give up your old life. And when you give up that old life, it's like you get a new purpose. You get a new king. You stop being the king on your throne, and he steps into that role. And our purposes change, and our priorities change. Today we're going to be talking about God's purpose. Amen? Did George just leave? George, I'm going to have you open up these doors. We have this young girl right here, and she might be a little bit more free in the overflow room. She's going to take care of you, ma'am. Amen? We can do that? Amen. Can I get an amen from the rest of you?
Amen.
All right, because we're going to just go ahead and do that anyway. All right. Tall is talking about this new life that we get in Christ. Right up here, George, in front. Right up here, buddy. Come up here, buddy. You. Yo, you're going to explain to this lady the cry room. Thank you, buddy. All righty. Paul's describing the change here. He says, everything that I thought was so valuable, I now consider as garbage. Yeah, she's so happy. She's going, I get to go to the cry room. Hallelujah. The word there for garbage is skubulon. It means literally to throw to the dogs. And so I'm wondering what you're doing this morning with your old life. I'm assuming you have new life in Christ. What you're doing with your old purpose and your old values. Because Paul is saying, my new life in Christ makes my old life look like garbage. Now, there's a lot of people that is a challenge for many. We start believing in Christ and pick up God's purpose, we think, oh, no, God should be living for my purpose. That's why I'm coming to the church, so that God can help me out. And realistically, what we have, a lot of people have a lot of misconceptions of what Jesus is like and what Jesus is supposed to do. Are you guys going to cry? Oh, well, that's fine. You can hear it. I was making a little joke. But we stop living for ourselves, and we start living for God. We're going to talk this morning about God's purpose for our lives, because I know that when we work God's purpose, we line ourselves up on God's prize. Amen? All right, we are on track now. We got everybody crying who's crying, happy who's happy. I'm going to start taking a look. We're going to go back to chapter 2 of Philippians today. We're going to jump ahead to chapter 3, which we read some of. And we're going to talk about our new lives being entirely different. Chapter 2, verse 12 says, therefore, everybody say therefore. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And what we need to do is, that new change that God gives us, we need to work out that change. Now, Paul says, we need to work out our salvation, and you might be thinking, well, what is that? Because I thought my salvation was the free gift of Christ. Anybody heard that before? Has anybody heard that your salvation is the free gift in Christ? Thank you. I'm looking for an amen there. There we go. Thank you very much. Yes. But, so somebody's saying, hey, I didn't think it was something that I needed to work for. And you are absolutely correct. Your salvation is not something that you work for, but the change that comes in your life when you get saved takes a whole lot of effort to implement. Can I get a witness on that part for somebody who's received Christ? Yeah, there is some work to be done, and that's why Paul says that We need to work our salvation with fear and trembling, because everything changes when you surrender your life to the Lord. Let me give you an example. It is kind of like moving out of your old... How many people have moved in the last 2 years? Joyous or a lot of work? A lot of work. Amen. How many people have moved in their lives? Yes. Everybody says, yeah, I've moved. There's a lot of stuff that got to get changed. Amen. Now, when you get saved, it's like moving out of your old apartment and moving into a new apartment with Jesus. And what happens is all your old furniture has to go because it don't fit in your new life. Can I get a witness on that? And everything that you bring into this new place that you're sharing with the Lord, you got to check with Jesus. Is it okay if I bring this in, Lord? And if you look at this decor, he might say, no, it don't match. Anybody know what I'm talking about here? Because some of the old stuff in our old lives that just doesn't match up with the new stuff that we got in our new lives. Amen? All right. So now we take a look at what Paul is talking about. What do I got there? And you say, what is this fear and trembling part? Well, the fear and trembling part is that many of us come to live with the Lord, and then we go, I just move back to my old apartment, and I'll get my old stuff, and I'll get my old life, and I'll get my old sin. And you can do that. But what happens is then that God's wrath is redirected at you, and that can cause a little trembling and a little fear. Can I get a witness on that? All right, so we don't want to go backwards. All right, Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 14. For it is God who works in you. It is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill His, everybody say His? His good purpose. Do everything without grumbling or arguing. With our new life comes a new purpose. With our new life comes God's purpose. When you surrender your life to the Lord, you surrender control to Him. You exchange your purpose. I don't know what you had in mind this morning. I don't know what you had in mind yesterday or last week, but what happens when we give our life to the Lord is we take our purposes and set them aside and we say, Lord, what is your purpose for me? And for many, that's a struggle. Can I get an it? Thank you for that, Sandra. I'm going to buy you lunch today. The Lord, many people isn't doing His job. Because we figure that the Lord's purpose should be to come alongside us and help us with our purpose. The men that were doing some wrenching yesterday, they all had other things to do. They had to put aside their priorities so that they could try to bless the ladies. Amen? Now, it says here that the Holy Spirit works in us to will and to act. And the men, we've been talking about blessing these ladies for like 3 months now. And we had a desire. But realistically, that desire wasn't going to help them ladies until we coughed up some money and went out and bought some oil and grabbed a wrench. Can I get a witness on that? So the Holy Spirit helps us to will, gives us the desire to act, and then gives us the power so that we can act, because desire without action doesn't accomplish much. Can I get a witness on that part? See, you're going to work out His purpose. You've got to put some action behind all that. Holy Spirit gives us that desire. You might be sitting here today, because it says that He gives us, it is God who works in us to will and act to fulfill His good purpose. And you might be thinking, you know, realistically, I have no desire to fulfill his good purpose. You know, I'm here this morning, but I just kind of want to take a snooze. Okay. But if you don't have a desire to do his good purpose, you have to ask yourself, I wonder if God is doing anything in me. You got to wonder whether or not I'm even part of the family of God. Because if you are, he's going to work in you to give you a desire and give you the ability to fulfill his purpose in your life. You tracking with me on that? All right, here we go. If you don't have any will, any desire to do his purpose, you might just be living in that old apartment. Don't fool yourself. On Tuesday, JJ's basketball team played a game. They didn't look all that good. Parents were doing a little grumbling and complaining. Paul says here, do everything without grumbling or complaining. Really, that word there for everything, I think I got it up here. Yeah, everything is all things. He says, do all things without grumbling or arguing. Because realistically, we all got some things that we can do without grumbling. Amen? We got many things that we can do and we don't grumble. But there's a couple things that come our way that we ain't real happy about. Amen? And we can get a little gripey when those things come our way. And Paul says, you got to watch out for those things because they'll get there and they will cause you. See, my purpose for me and God's purpose for me will sometimes cause me to go in two different directions. And it is that tension and it's that pull that causes me to get a little bit gripey. Right? Sandra, I'm liking you today. Yeah. I'll come right over there and just preach to you. That game on Tuesday, it wasn't real pretty. They lost by 6. But early in the first quarter, they were down by 14. It was 20-6. Oh, ouch. Somebody said ouch, yeah. And the coach said, time out. And he had the team sit down there in front of him, and he says, you guys are getting beat out there. And he says, you're getting beat because everybody's doing his own thing. You're getting beat because you're not playing like a team. And he said, and I told him I was going to use this today. He said, I'm not going to have to come to church. He said, let me coach you. If we play as a team, we can win. If we grab on to God's purpose for our lives, we're able to grab on to God's victory. Amen? All right, let's keep on going. Verses 14 and 50, talking about shining. God's purpose for us, one of God's purposes for us, is that we can shine. Do everything without grumbling or I want to give you that twice. Just to kind of try to have it percolate in there. Do everything without grumbling or arguing so that you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will be able to shine among them like the stars in the sky. If we're going to shine, we're going to have to change. Are you willing to change so that you can shine? Are you willing to change so that you can take on God's purpose and put your own purpose behind you? Because there's a lot of people who say, not really. Not really. I am here so that I can fulfill my purpose. And if you are all about your purpose, you're not shining. You're probably rather dull. Because we all start off a little warped and a little crooked. Yeah? Amen. When we surrender all that to the Lord, He makes us His children. He applies the sacrifice of Christ to our account, and He declares us clean and pure and blameless. But even as we come into the family of God, we've still got some warped tendencies. Can I get a witness on that? So that's why we got to continue to do that work and work it out. We have to learn how to live like the children of God. We have to learn how to actually be blameless and to actually be clean. The process of learning that and putting that into a practice is called sanctification. It's the daily work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. And the more we work that out, the more we're going to become pure and the more we're going to become blameless. I hope you're purer and more blameless this year than last year. You look back and you see, wow, I see all the change. Jesus said, we're supposed to be the light of the world. We're supposed to give. We're supposed to give that warped and crooked generation something that they can see. And I'm wondering this morning, who do you know who is warped? And who do you know that's crooked? That you can extend a hand, that you can shine a light, that you can say, you're not going to be alone on Christmas, are you? You know, I got a place that we can go on Christmas Eve. I got a place we can go on Christmas Day. And we can celebrate and we can be with people who celebrate. Because the more we work God's purpose, the more we line up on His prize and are able to shine. Amen? So are you shining? Or are you dull? All right, let's keep going. Verses 16 and 17. You will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. And then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain, but even if I am poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. See, in the end, we get to celebrate. As we grab onto the purpose, we're able to celebrate. And if you really want to shine, you can grab onto this word and it will shine you up. The word will provide a foundation for your life. And if you would like to build up the foundation for your life, we've got a daily devotion plan that's right there in the back, right up here on top. It says 20 minutes to change your life. If you want to change your life, if you want to shine, if you want to grab onto God's purpose for you, if you want to know Christ better, I guarantee you, you do this for a year and your life will be transformed. You say, I can get one of those, but I don't have a Bible. I can put it on your phone. I can give you a paper Bible. We'll have 7 paper Bibles next week. Hallelujah. I love paper Bibles. And then you can go to the City Heights Assembly of God Facebook page. Every day I post about a 5-minute little devotion on there so that if you don't understand what it said, it will help you understand. I try and explain all the hooks, all the whatever's challenging in that stuff. You can go to the City Heights Assembly of God. In fact, we're trying to stream this to it right now so you can even look at that, look at the message on there as well. But we're working that out. Danny's back there doing good work. All right. This word will give you something to grab onto so that you can shine. We got these in the back. You can get them on your way out. Love to talk with you about that. It will indeed change your life. All right. Little inside baseball here. Paul talks about being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice of the Philippians. In Numbers chapter 15, the Bible describes a drink offering. And a drink offering is never offered alone. It is always offered in conjunction with another offering. Could be a burnt offering, could be a vow. Somebody makes an offering because of a vow. Or somebody makes a free will offering. In these situations, a grain offering or a drink offering is offered along with it and poured on top of it. And so Paul says, my sacrifice is being poured out with your sacrifice so that when Christ comes back, we can celebrate. And he says, because Jesus is coming back, and Jesus brings reward with him. And he brings reward for those who live their lives with a focus on his purpose. And he says, I can't wait till Jesus comes back because I'm going to celebrate. And that's what I'm focused on. You know, yesterday morning, the men washed them cars, changed that oil, and everybody had something else they could have been doing. Spent the whole morning trying to bless those ladies and put their purpose aside to grab onto the purpose of blessing the ladies in the church. They all grabbed on to God's purpose so that they could come together and shine. We have that opportunity. This word brings us together. Amen? Amen. Mo, did your son tell you about that oil change thing we had going on yesterday? Wow, we're going to have to hook you up. All right. You got to keep our purpose in perspective, especially JJ. Hallelujah. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss. This is what we opened up with. We're going to continue on and read a little bit further. I consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I've lost all things. I consider them garbage that I might gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. With new life comes new priorities. Paul's focus is on knowing Christ. And this is more than a, to me, God is statement. Because God reveals himself to us in Christ, and we can know him. Word here for know, to know, is the Greek word gnosis, and it means to know through experience. And so Christ is more than a concept. Christ is more than speculation. Christ is a person that you can know that he is real. There are all kinds of images of Christ out there, but Paul is saying, wait a minute, it's not something that I want to make up, because there's some out there say you can make up your own picture of Jesus. Just grab onto any picture, make up your own, just have faith in something, and it's going to work. But Jesus is just as tangible as anybody who's in this room. Now, you can grab onto that picture of me today and say, that's my pastor. But realistically, there's not a lot of truth in that. And what you're going to have to do to grab the purpose of the Lord is to grab onto truth. Can I get a witness on that? Jesus is not something that you make up. Jesus is somebody that you meet. Jesus is somebody that will guide you through your life, will give you new purpose so that you can genesis in your old, not something that you wrap your purpose around. Can I get a witness on that part? Paul says, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection, because if I can really know Jesus, then I can know his purpose for my life. Hallelujah. All right, last thing I got going for you this morning. Not that I've already obtained all this. This is Apostle Paul. Not that I've already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do. Forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Paul still has work to do. Amen? Paul is pursuing God's purpose. He is pressing on. Word here is to chase. Pressing on. To chase in haste. Paul is all in. For God's purpose for him. Paul is stretching out for this new life and for this new purpose. And I'm wondering this morning, what do you stretch for? What is most important to you? Because for Paul, it's grabbing on to the purpose of God. For Paul, it is grabbing on to He who grabbed onto him. Jesus grabbed onto him. A nail-pierced hand reaching down from heaven grabbed onto Paul, and everything was transformed in his life. And Paul says that he is continually putting the past behind to keep a focus on Christ and God's purpose for him. He's running to the finish line. Paul says, I want to run my race in such a way as to finish. I want to attain that goal. That goal is the finish line. And the prize comes at the finish. The glory of God. As you focus on God's purpose for your life, it dials you in. God's prize that's coming. Amen? Lisa, you want to play? I'm wondering how you're doing on your purpose. I'm wondering, as you rolled in here this morning, what was most important to you this morning? What was most important to you yesterday, and what is most going to be most important to you tomorrow? Some of you are going to grab that reading plan and you say, you know what? In the next year, I want to be transformed in the priorities of my life. I want to know Christ better, and I want to be able to work his purposes in my life. Some of you, I'm not really thinking so. Wonder where you're at. Are you focused on the goal? Are you straining and striving for Christ? Because some of you are like that. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I put stuff in my life aside all the time. Why? Because I want to get to the finish. I want to know Jesus. I want to know the power of his resurrection. I want to be transformed, because some of us got some messed up lives, messed up bodies. I got diabetes. I don't got no hair. Mo came in here. She got one or two bad knees. And you know what? I could use a brand new body. It's going to last forever. Hallelujah. Some of you, not so much. Some of you, living I'm going to pick any Jesus I can. Some of you thinking, you know what? I'm just sitting in my old place. And, you know, I think I can work it out. A lot of people in the church, yeah, I got my old place, but I got a picture of Jesus on the wall. And you know what? That's not going to cut it. That just isn't going to cut it. For it to work, you got to move into that brand new place. You got to put that old life behind. Get to the finish and find glory. Hallelujah. Lord, I come to you this morning knowing that you are good and mighty and awesome, Lord. Knowing that you have a purpose and a plan for each of us, Lord. And we live in conflict. Because our purpose and our plan gets in the way of yours, Lord. Lord, we can know you and the power of your resurrection, Lord. Participate in your sufferings, Lord. Gives us the ability to bend the knee, Lord. Gives us the ability to cast off all that we treasure and our purposes and our plans, Lord. To cast them off and to pick up your purpose and to pick up your plan in my life. Hallelujah. Come in here this morning. And you got too much old stuff in your life. I mean, you've run the race and you're moving as far as you can. And the Lord's saying, you know what's holding you back is this. You got some garbage that you've been carrying around. It's actually kind of starting to stink. You know, we got a little garbage zone right up here. You can come and offload that stuff. We got ushers. They're going to carry it away later. I'm just saying, right here this morning, you can come and you can leave some garbage that you've been carrying around so precious to you. Say, Lord, this ain't nothing but something to be thrown out to the dogs this morning. Lord, I want to know you. I want to know the power of your resurrection. You might in here and this morning say, you know what? I have never had a desire to do God's good purpose for my life. And the Lord all the morning has been saying, you're not part of my family. You might have a picture of me on your wall, but you're not part of my family. I don't even know you. But in the same way that nail-pierced hand reached down from heaven, grabbed onto Paul this morning, that nail-pierced hand reaching down from heaven says, I want to know you. I died on a cross for you. I got a new life for you, but you have to cast off your old one. I got a new purpose for you, but you got to cast off your old one. And I'll take you to the finish line and I'll take you to the prize, but you got to want to go with me. Nobody looking around this morning, but right now, this morning, 2018, Christmas time, the Lord says, I have the gift of life for you this morning. I have new life in Christ pointed right at you. I'm grabbing you from heaven. Will you surrender your old life to me and receive my new life? With nobody looking around this morning, God is speaking right to your heart. And he says, and you say, that's me this morning, Lord. I am willing to make that exchange. I'm willing to cast off the old and move towards the new. That's you this morning. I just want you to slide your hand up and say, Lord, here I am. I want to know you right here. Somebody else would say, that's me. That's me. I want to know Christ, the power of his resurrection. Say, that's me this morning. Slide your hand up wherever you're at in this place. I want to know Christ. Anybody else? Anybody else? You're here this morning. And you're kind of going, whoa, what's that smell? Well, that smell is the garbage you've been dragging around. And the Lord is saying, you know, I love you, child. But there's some things that are holding you back. And we're going to move all the way to that finish. We're going to have to drop some of this stuff off. Paul says, I haven't attained all this yet. I'm tossing old stuff on, and I am pressing on to the goal, pressing on to the finish so I can get that prize. You're here this morning. The Lord is just speaking to your heart and saying, Lord, I hear you this morning, Lord. I don't want to be like that anymore. Lord, I want to drop this stuff off so I can get to the finish and know you better. That's you this morning. You got a couple things drop off out of your pack. You saying, Lord, I hear you, I hear you. Just slide your hand up at you this morning. Say, here I am, right over here, right over here. Somebody else say, that's me, God speaking to my heart right here. Somebody else say, yeah, hallelujah, right here. Yeah, I'm not, hallelujah, right over here, yes. Lord, we give you praise, Lord. We give you praise, Lord. We want to know you, Lord. We want to know the real you, Lord. We want to know the power of your resurrection. We want to know, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. We surrender all, Lord. Give it to you, Lord. I pray for those, Lord, who give their life to you this morning. Hallelujah, Lord. Who give their life to you. Hallelujah, Lord. Lord, pray for those who need to drop off some stuff, Lord. Hallelujah. We can know you in the power of your resurrection. Let's all stand. The worship team is coming up. You put your hand up. The worship team, we're going to sing. Daniel's going to put this song up for us. You put your hand up. You got some garbage to unload. Right up here. Right up here. I'm going to ask you to just come, just kneel right before the Lord and say, Lord, here I am. Here I am, Lord. Here I am, Lord. I want to get to the finish, Lord. You got to make some steps this morning, Lord. You put your hand up, just move out from where you're at. Come right up here. Don't let the devil stop you. Don't let the devil stop you.